Let us turn this morning to the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This will be another message on being called by God. And today, I want to speak from verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The call he's talking about here is that of verse 23. It is a call to full sanctification or holiness. And we find here that God has called us with such a wonderful calling. And then the beauty of that also, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And this means that God is the one who is going to fulfill such a calling, fulfill such holiness in our lives, as we will see here presently. I want to notice that Peter preaches this same message, the same pattern. We'll not turn there, but in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15, he says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation." Then Peter quotes from the Old Testament, "Because it is written, be ye holy as I am holy." This is exactly what we find in our lives today, that God wants to make us holy just as he is holy. And of course, there are a number of reasons for that, but I want to explore today just a little bit about that sanctification or that holiness that is indeed of God, ordained of God and performed by God. Sanctification is twofold. It is expressed of being out of and into. Separated from, separated to. And I would emphasize today that so many over the years have emphasized and preached, especially of separation from. And that is wonderful. But the only guarantee that we have of real and lasting sanctification is when we are separated to. And that is indeed separated to God. Paul told the Thessalonian saints, "You turn to God from idols." We have seen it over and over again that God does not separate from and just leave us in limbo. There is always a separation to, and that separation to is actually even more wonderful than the separation from. The field is wide open for us to be separated to God with all these glorious blessings. Paul tells us the same thing in Galatians 1:15. "When it pleased God to separate me from my mother's womb." His mother's womb was Judaism. Paul was locked up with all of the ways of the law, and he was very good at it. But God separated him from the law because the law can never produce righteousness. He separated me from my mother's womb, and he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. This is the two, the revelation of Jesus. And that's how sanctification is obtained in our experience. Then as we read here in verse 24, he will also do it. This is such a marvelous expression and something that we must understand. Only God can sanctify us. We can't sanctify ourselves, nor can we sanctify anybody else. Only God is able to do that. And indeed, He is able and has the power in order to do it. I want to go back for just a few minutes. We'll be coming back to our text here in 1 Thessalonians. But turn with me to Exodus, the 31st chapter. We are speaking here once again about God being the one who sanctifies. Exodus 31. This is a marvelous verse, and we need to get the truth of it into our own hearts. And so in Exodus 31 and 13, verse 13, we read, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." It is vitally important that we understand the glorious truth of this verse, because he is preaching here on the Sabbath. Speak to the children of Israel, and you say, "My Sabbaths you shall keep." But it is important for us to know what that means, because God is not talking about keeping a day as though that were a magical incantation for everything else in our lives. And we come to realize that the Sabbath is Jesus. The Sabbath taught and teaches rest. And the only rest that men have ever found or ever will find is in Christ Jesus. It is so interesting. You can mark the scripture, Mark 2:27. Jesus was talking about the Sabbath, and I believe this is after he had healed on the Sabbath day or just prior to doing it. Here's what he said. He said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man." He meant that God made the Sabbath. He established the Sabbath as a benefit of rest for men. He brought the Sabbath to man in order that he might enjoy the benefit of God. The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Man was not created just to observe the Sabbath as some decree. God created the Sabbath in order that men might discover the true rest that is in Christ Jesus. Now we put that in context here in verse 13. "Verily my Sabbath you shall keep. It's a sign between me and you throughout your generations." And notice the purpose. Why did he want them to keep the Sabbath? "It is so that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you." We will never discover sanctification unless we learn our rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must learn that we can't do it, nor can anyone else do it outside of Him. Remember, observe the Sabbath that you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. The fact of the matter is this. Only the Lord knows what true sanctification is. Men think they do, and they separate and they cut off. And the law was so good as cut off, cut off, cut off, cut off. But the law never sanctified anyone. And people who think that sanctification is just separation from do not understand and experience sanctification. I said a little while ago that separation to is the guarantee of separation from. Amen. Men can try to separate themselves from drugs and alcohol and every other ungodly behavior and habit that there is, but until they are separated unto the principles of God found in the Word of God, they will never be free from their past. And so we must be separated, true separation, indeed, unto Him. Let us go back to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I want to see some specifics in regard to sanctification or holiness. 1 Thessalonians 5, and once again, verse 23. And the very God of peace, this is in reality the power of the Holy Ghost. He is the God of peace. And so that means Paul is talking about practicality of sanctification, real holiness and sanctification, and not just something in theory. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can tell you this prayer will be realized in the lives of some people, and we want to be one of them. We must learn to rest in Christ in order to achieve to this place. We see here that Paul says, I want you to be sanctified wholly. That means in this threefold way. Man is a threefold being, spirit, soul, and body. And Paul tells us, and he prays here, that we be sanctified wholly in all three areas of our existence. Sanctification begins in spirit. It begins our very first experience of sanctification is the new birth. God separated us from the old creation, and he implanted us in the spiritual realm as we became a new creation in Christ Jesus. That happened immediately. That happened eternally. Once we are born again, we are always born again. But I can tell you that the moment we believe on Jesus, we are not wholly sanctified in spirit. Our whole spirit is not fully separated unto him in actuality and in practice. And I want to explain what that means. As Paul says here, I pray God your whole spirit be preserved. Just what is the spirit of man? The spirit of man has been referred to as the life which is in man. And that's absolutely true. It is our spirit which is indeed life. But the spirit, it's important for us to understand that the spirit of a man is a part of him that knows. That means it goes quite beyond the intellect or the mental capacity of man. We'll not turn there, but 1 Corinthians 2:11 is vitally important for every one of us to know where it is and know what it means. Says this, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? It is the spirit that knows. God made us this way. And another verse that is so very important to remember is this, Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Make no mistake, God made every person that is ever born into this world. God created him with the knowledge that God exists. Amen. Men know. That's what the scripture said. When they knew God, every created person knows, not with his intellect, not with his feeling, not with anything else. It is in created knowledge of God that he has. The fact of the matter is this. Men have to learn not to believe in God. They have to learn to use their reasoning minds to discount God. And so they knew God, Scripture said, but they glorified Him not as God. And then you find on down through those verses how that their corrupted minds have taken them away from God. Man's reasoning mind convinces him there is no God. And so I want to notice that when God sanctifies us in spirit, He wants us to know more of Him. He wants us to know God. This is why it's so wonderful to us. Many of us who do not have very strong and wonderful minds, we don't have IQs that are in the stratosphere, but you don't have to, because God reveals truth to our spirit. We know by revelation. When we are born again, we know we're a son of God, not because we can reason it out, but because we know beyond doubt, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am a son of God. I know in my spirit. God sanctifies us in spirit as He reveals Himself, as He reveals truth to us. God reveals truth to our spirit, and then we understand it with our mind. This is the order. God reveals truth to our spirit, and then we understand with our minds. This brings us to the second part of man. And that is the soul. God wants to sanctify us in our soul. He wants to separate our spirit unto absolute truth. And I want to notice that this is an order that we must have if we're going to get real sanctification. And so it is the spirit that dictates truth to the soul. So what's the soul of man? We hear of souls being saved, and that's absolutely true. Scripture tells us that soul and spirit can't be really separated. We read, I believe it's in Hebrews 4, that the sword of the Spirit is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. That's the Word of God. Dividing asunder to soul and spirit. They are inseparable, but they are different. And so let us understand that. The soul of a man, it has been referred to as the mind, will, and emotion. I have no problem with that. I especially want to enlarge on the fact that the soul is the seat of our affection. The soul is where our desires are. We read of soulish lusts. It means soulish desires, and men are driven by soulish desires. We have often said this. Men do what they want to do. That's true of everybody. Men do what they want to do. We are driven by desire. And that, beloved, is why our desires have to be right. God did not create us as robots that He would just program us to mechanically go from one right thing to another and just completely oblivious to anything else. God created us to serve Him by desire. He wants us to desire and long to serve Him. That's where the soul comes in. David said it this way in Psalm 63:1. O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. That tells us of the extreme desire that David's innermost being, his soul, had for God. And that's what he wants in our lives. That my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longs for thee. Psalm 84:2. My soul longs, yea, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. This is the desire that God would work in our soul in order that we might have that same desire for Him. He sanctifies our soul. He separates our desire unto Him. Philippians 2:13 says it this way. It preaches exactly the same truth as we read here in verse 24. Faithful is he that called you, he will also do it. Philippians 2:13 says it this way. It is God which worketh in you both to will. That means he works in you to have the want to have the desire. This is the soul he's working in to make you want this. He works in you both to will and then to do. Before we can do it, before it's carried out in the practical manner in these bodies, we have to want to do it. Both to will and then to do of his good pleasure. God does not beat us into submission. God rather brings us to that place where we want to bow down to him. Our desire is to do his will. I delight to do thy will, O my God, says the psalmist. And that is exactly what God wants to do in my soul. He may have multiple ways of bringing us to that place where that he reduces us to nothing. But this is what God wants, is that we desire, that we want to do his will. This leads us to the next portion of this message, and that is to do. This will of God, ways of God, this sanctification must be manifest in these mortal bodies. He wants me to be sanctified wholly in my body, which is presented indeed unto him. But I emphasize the point once again. If we are ever going to have the will of God fully manifested in this mortal body, it has to be from desire. It has to be because I want God's will and God's purposes to be manifested in this mortal body. And so we are sanctified, holy, in our body unto the Lord. I want to close with the fifth chapter of Ephesians, where Paul really summarizes many of these things that we have said in a very short portion of Scripture. Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul uses the natural marriage relationship as an illustration of what he's talking about because he knows that this is the relationship men will be able to understand and identify with. The first thing we want to know that is taught here, real sanctification begins with sacrificial love. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And then we come to that little word, that, in verse 26. We've seen it before. There is a purpose. The purpose for the sacrificial love of Christ in giving himself for the church is that, or in order that, he might sanctify and cleanse it. Our sanctification begins with the sacrificial love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen that again and again. I'm sure you experienced it in your own life. Meditating on the Word of God. Meditating on what Jesus has done. We have seen it even in little children as they talk about Jesus dying for their sins and tears running down their little faces in brokenness and submission before God. There is nothing like a revelation of Jesus' sacrificial death to break our hearts into absolute submission and give ourselves unto Him. When we get a revelation of the love of Christ, it simply levels us before Him, and then He is able to separate us or sanctify us unto Himself. And that is what we read in these verses. Notice, before we go on here, the sanctification that we are looking for. This is an expression of the same thing that Paul said, that we are sanctified in spirit, soul, and body. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is the fullness of sanctification that he is looking for. Now, we full well know we can't look at these words today. No one can consciously look at verse 27 and say, oh yes, that's a picture of the church. No, it ain't. The church as a whole comes nowhere near this glorious state. But the good news is, there will be a company of people that do measure up to this, and you and I can be a part of it. If I take this message to my own heart, then God can perform this kind of sanctification in my life. We must understand the theme and the thread that runs all the way through this message. We found in 1 Thessalonians, He will do it. Philippians 2, it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Here we find that when we realize, when we are broken by the very sacrificial love of Christ, then He is able to sanctify and to cleanse it and to present it unto Himself. That's me. I cannot sanctify you. and I guarantee you, you cannot sanctify me. That is something only the Lord is able to do. Only the Lord can accomplish that glorious feat. But he can and he will if we give him the opportunity to do so. And so you will notice how he does it. The instrument that God uses. This is why the church is in such a shambles today, is because they would not submit to God's instrument. As we read, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We have found that he reveals truth to our spirit. That is translated on down into the desires of our soul. And then he carries out in a practical manner by manifesting all of that wonderful separation unto himself through this body. Amen. This is the path that God wants to take in my life as an individual. And so it is that he is doing this to present it to himself. Present it to Christ. So not someone else presenting it to him. He is presenting it to himself because of the glorious operations of the Word of God. And so we must give complete diligence, and we must give complete submission of our lives unto him. And then these words can most assuredly be fulfilled in my life and in your life. As Paul said, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. And you will notice, unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this sanctification, true sanctification, revolves around my being ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.